So this is the time in our retreat where again we do the practice of Wazitha together. And I turned to Murshid, and I wanted to see what Murshid said about Wazitha. And what he said is this. Wazitha means whispering. The repetition of holy names, it is not a breathing exercise. Yah is said before the holy name, meaning, O thou. Amir said that yesterday. Now, there might be times, for example, this morning, alhamdulillah, it's great. Great joy can come. And sometimes maybe we are singing louder, and at other times, softer. It depends also, I think, on the energy and the direction of the particular wazifa and the quality that we're trying to invoke, or remember, we should say. This is always there, it's just calling it forward. This afternoon, as you might, if your intuition was very keen all along the way today, you might have suspected that we would work with the wazifa Noor. Now, you know this is a subject I know a little bit about. Just a little bit. And again, you know, we have a lot of books on these subjects, a lot of references we can look at to see what is the interpretation of these sacred names. In my own training that started more years ago than I would like to say, my initiator would give me a name. There wasn't the internet then, and there really weren't very many books. So I would receive 1, 2, sometimes 3 names. And my initiator lived far away, just like Hamida was talking, you know, strengthening the connection of the heart through the distance. And my initiator said, do the practice and report to me next month what your realization is. And how do you see its influence in your life? Can you imagine? No book to sort of get the cleft notes, right? The notes. It was a good training. You really experience the quality and the vibration and the sound of the wazifa. So I wanted to ask Murshid what his view of Noor is, or Noor. Sometimes the R's rolled a little bit. And this is what Murshid himself said in The Soul Wince and Wither. The soul may be likened to a ray of the sun. So the souls of the angels, being not adorned with physical garb, are flames themselves. And yesterday, Murshid Nawab gave us that visualization, if you were here, of that torch, that flame, that light. And then again this morning, breathing in light and holding, and out light and holding. Murshid says, the scriptures, therefore, say that the angels are made of Noor, or light. Noor is specially that light which comes from the divine sun, and not sun like male child, sun like the radiant sun. Noor is specially that light which comes from the divine sun, the spirit of God. All souls are made of that essence, which is the essence of the whole manifestation. All souls are made of that essence, which is the essence of all manifestation. Can you understand me? I mean, my English is okay for you, and my speed and sound? Okay. Thank you. Let me know if it isn't. It's okay. Better. Nawab's always teasing me about my American English. I like it. That's what brothers and sisters do, right? All souls are made of that essence, which is the essence of the whole manifestation. And the quality of that essence is that it absorbs all that is around it. And in time, develops so that it will emerge into its own element, which is the divine. Will I read that one sentence again? Would that be helpful? I don't have my flip chart, I'm sorry. But I can send you my notes if you write me. And you can find them in Mershit's message, they're not my notes. All souls are made of that essence, which is the essence of the whole manifestation, not separate. And the physicists are telling us this, right? The particles that make up the whole universe make up this being. It's not disconnected. It's all interdependent, and it is all connected. We are that stuff, and that stuff is us. And the quality of that essence is that it is absorbed, that it absorbs all that is around it. The quality of that essence is that it absorbs all that is around it, and in time develops so that it will emerge into its own element, which is the divine. Mershit goes on to say, again in the Soul of Winsome Wither, the heavens, for instance, offer that luminous body to the soul, which the Sufi term is called Nur. Because heaven consists of luminous atoms, it is all illumination. It is the recognition of that angelic body in the Buddha which caused his students to make the statue of Buddha in gold. Often artists have had the conception of painting angels in gold, for gold represents light. And in other parts of Mershit's teaching, he talks about that the halo that we see around the angels and Christ and Mary, that's that light. But it is also self-illuminating awareness. It is the light, as Mershit said, that are these atoms that the whole universe is comprised of, is composed of. And so, if we concentrate and we look deeply, we can see that self-illuminating awareness arising from our own being, but what's more is it emanates from everything. Thy light is in all forms. Just a few more words and then we will do the practice. You know, I think how amazing every word of Mershit is like an elixir, and the prayers are just pure gold, are they not? So I thought about those prayers and how Mershit has in some ways given us English words or phrases to concentrate on, but they're the essence of these wazifas. So for example, in the morning prayer, Psalm, Murshid gives us, illuminate our souls with divine light. Illuminate our souls with divine light, Noor. I have a secret. The divine light's there. It's as Brother Amir was talking about yesterday, that polishing. You know, it's like, scrub that little lantern a little bit so the light shines out. Illuminate our souls with divine light, and what's more, pour upon us thy love and thy light. Just, this is so amazing. I don't know, is it just the lights here? But it's like I can feel that so much. And then in Salat, until, oh no, that's not what I wanted to read. Let the star of the divine light shining in thy heart be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. Let the star of the divine light shining in thy heart be reflected in thy devotees. That's us, right? Would you agree? Yeah. And then in Khatun, disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. That we may know and understand life better. I would like to share with you, if you're open, and I've done it before, and so I know you are here, to do the practice in a way that I was instructed. And I do want to say one more thing that I was reading from Murshid's sort of handbook on practices, and that was about the number of repetitions, because I think we often may get asked that question. But Murshid even said, they can be given in smaller amounts, like 10 or 20 or 30 and so on, 100. And he said that was very good, but even to do 500, 700, 1,000, 1,100, he said that's perfect. But he said always add one. But then I read in other teachers of Murshid that if you have a little bit of a stubborn or hard-headed student, to give them 501. And of course, my initiator always gave me 501, and I thought, my hard head, Italian head. So I thought, but it was also a great gift to get into the vibration. So we'll do the first 33 with the prefix ya. And a little bit on the tone, very soft, so we can hear each other's voices. And it's as if we are in a formal way addressing this divine quality. O thou, or most respected salutations to this quality. Or I like to think of it as the quality, maybe we feel it is far away, like on another dune or a mountaintop, and we're kind of calling, hi, you, hello, thou. And then when that quality becomes more intimate, we just whisper. Because you know, as the beloved draws closer, you don't want to yell in their ear. And so we whisper. And then we drop the formality of the ya, and it's just, a whisper, like you're whispering into your beloved's ear. And then the last, so that's 34 aloud, or softly, in tone, 34 on the whisper, and we can draw the breath in, and out. And then just silently, holding the atmosphere or that quality or sensing that self-illuminating awareness within, radiating without. Is that clear? I'll help us. I'll remind you when we're going to whisper. I'll say last time when it, if that helps, when we're doing things aloud and then turning to whisper. But think of it also, you know. You know, if you set a nail, you know, like in a wall, you know what I'm talking about? With a hammer. So at first you put the nail there, and then you give it a couple good kind of whacks, right, to get it to start. That's kind of what we're doing when we're saying it aloud. It's like, bump, bump, bump. And then, you know, as you're getting it just to the right place, you go softer, 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 softer. Am I right? I'm not much of a carpenter, but I do. I'm a little bit. I can be a little bit that way, too. I like doing all those things. It's like that. First, a little bit. Yanu
Yeah.
whispering to the most intimate friend. And we breathe in and out. Now feel this radiance emerging from your soul in all directions. Let it touch both your deepest depths, but also let us radiate it out so that all beings are touched by this self-illuminating awareness. And let it flow to some of the deepest, darkest places that are in need of light. Send it on the breath. Let it be a benefit. And when one is confronted with difficulties or challenges or troubled by the affairs of the day, let those become fuel that will allow your light to grow stronger, and that it may manifest through your life, through your eyes, through your speech, through your manner, touching those that you come into contact with, and in ever-widening circles so that others may be of benefit. It's as if when we're confronted with those things, offering a log to the fire, and when you do that, you know what happens. The light just gets brighter. Let it be so. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better.